Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, so you got a combination of warm weather over the next 5 days and some rain to kind of secure some of the stuff that you're going to be planting and getting ready to enjoy as the harvest will be months away, but you'll have a chance to watch it grow in all of its glory between now and then. This is the show that helps you with all of your gardening needs and for work on the outside around your house. So if you have a question for Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener, he is on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. You can join us now at 866-391-1020. All calls welcome today. Wall-to-wall phone calls up until 8 o'clock. Plus, we're going to give you a chance to win an incredible gift certificate from Sorgals right now. They're out in Wexford if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, it is Doug Oster. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Harvesting in months. We're already harvesting, Rob. We're harvesting our lettuce and our spinach and arugula and other greens and all sorts of other stuff, stuff we overwintered in this warm weather is going to mean that a lot of those cool weather crops that, especially any of us that have overwintered them, we're going to see them go to seed. It's called bolting, and I've already looked out at my spinach that I was able to, you know, I planted it in September, give it protection over the winter. It came back. We've been picking it, but I can see it's starting to go to seed. It's starting to bolt, and so that's just planning for succession planting. I'll harvest as soon as the show's over. I'll be out there harvesting anything that I see that's going to seed. But boy, happy Memorial Day weekend. This is going to be something. And Mom always said, this is the official start of the gardening season. Everything can be planted. No more frost. And boy, I could hear those temperatures they were talking about before we got on here. It's really going to get hot. But I'm telling you, the nurseries are crazy. I have never seen anything like this. I visited Han Nursery yesterday, and even during the week, it's nuts to get in there. So everybody is gardening, and, you know, don't worry if you don't want to get out there this weekend to the nursery, if you want to wait until Monday or Tuesday when things calm down a little bit, because they are just, every nursery is just filled with plants, more plants than they've ever had before. I mean, at Han, there were racks and racks and racks of plants, more than I'd ever seen. That's how crazy this is. As I said, people want to get out. They want to be in the garden. And this is certainly the weekend to plant your tomatoes and peppers. But again, if you don't get to it this weekend, there's still a long window of planting. I often talk about succession planting of tomatoes to keep them healthy. When they are planted this early in the season, even though right now we're going to have, you know, warm temperatures, humid, but it'll cool off again. We'll have some cool nights with rain, and these tomatoes and peppers, they love warm soil, and so I always leave room in the garden to plant more. I'll be planting tomatoes all the way through. That last planting is July 4th. And I know, I talk about it a lot, and I know it might seem crazy, but putting an early girl in, Sun Gold, Red Racer, 4th of July, these early tomatoes that only take about 50 days to reach fruition, they will be so happy to be in that warm soil, planted through June into July. And when you plant everything the same day or the same weekend, you're putting all your eggs in one basket. Split it up. Keep planting. It's fun. And with this warm weather coming, I know that there's going to be a lot of cool weather crops that have been sitting in there since St. Patrick's Day or before. It could be from last year, and they're going to need replaced. things like lettuce and greens, things like that. We continue to plant that all season long, and it's one of the fun things about gardening. I've got lots of information at DougOster.com all about tomato planting. I've got stories and videos out there, video from Pittsburgh Today Live about my planting. There's one technique in that video that you should see. It's for tomatoes. It's called horizontal planting, and it's especially good for us home growers. Sometimes this time of the year, the plants get a little leggy, a little tall and spindly. And all I do is I dig a trench, put some compost in it, strip off most of the bottom leaves of that tomato plant, turn it sideways, and put it in the soil, and then just cover up that root ball and the stem and just leave the top of the plant. You don't touch the top of the plant. Let it do its thing. It will turn upwards in a day, and then we water right away, mulch, and put a cage or a stake, whatever you use, right away, because, again, when it's horizontal, you'll forget in a day where that stem is, and you could pound the stake right through it. But the advantage of that horizontal planting is that the roots are up close to the warm soil early in the season and also close to water. All that stem where we took off the leaves, that's all going to become a great system of roots. And like I said, they're going to be close to the soil, and that's just another way to plant tomatoes. You could plant them deeper if you wanted to, but it's cooler, especially early in the season, down in the soil. And as we know, tomatoes just love warm soil. And so when I do this horizontal planting, the plants just go crazy. Give your tomatoes plenty of room. You know, I had a email the other day where somebody wanted to put them on very close centers, put 16 tomatoes in a 4x8 bed. And I was like, you know, I'm sure you could get away with it. You'd have a tomato jungle. But I'm putting my plants on 3-foot centers minimum, hopefully 5-foot centers, because they're going to get huge, you know, especially if you have them growing in good soil and good compost. And you want them to have some air going through there. I'd also keep some healthy, too. That's why I like growing them in a cage. Plus, I'm lazy. You know, once you put that cage on top, and then I actually pound a stake in the cage to hold it in place. And this is all on the video at DougOster.com just to show you what I'm doing. And it's just I don't have to do anything else with the tomato. If I stake it, I'll be pruning it to 1 liter and all that, and I'm just too lazy. And, you know, what happens to me if I stake tomatoes? I'll go out there about 2 weeks. I haven't done anything to it. It's got 3 central leaders on it. One's falling off. I'm trying to tie it up. When I throw that tomato cage, and I make them myself out of this stuff called concrete reinforcing wire. It's what they roll down like to put a sidewalk in. You can get it at the hardware store, just a roll of it. I cut it up into about 5-foot length. So it's 5 foot tall, and then just this round cage that you put together. I cut them with these things called lineman pliers. They're not as big as, like, bolt cutters, but they're pretty good size cutters, and they cut through pretty easily. And it just supports the tomato. They last forever, and you could store them flat. You could just crush them flat with your foot and then bring them back out in the season. But one thing I'm dealing with this year, again, baby rabbits. I've got all the big rabbits fenced out. I redid the fencing, but little baby rabbits are getting in. So, you know, what can you do about a baby rabbit? I can't fence it out, so I keep trying to scare them out and finding where they're coming and going. A good question just came through on my messenger. Morning, Doug, when you talk about mulch for the bottom of the garden, are you talking about straw? Yes, in the vegetable garden, Janice, I am talking about straw. That's just what I use. Whenever I talk about anything mulching in the garden, it's about what it looks like for you. For me, in the vegetable garden, straw, just it's perfect for me. I think that's it's cheap. It looks good for the vegetable garden. It doesn't have to be fancy for the vegetable, at least, you know, certainly my vegetable garden. But then out in the ornamental garden, I always use the least expensive bark mulch that I can find, and use Jessica's trick of 7 to 10 layers of wet newspaper down around plants as a weed control, and then the mulch on top. That newspaper, if you can find it, is a great weed barrier. It's an annual weed barrier. It will just kind of fade away during the season, and it's a kind of a pain to do it every year. But if you if we put down the landscape fabric as a weed barrier, eventually the soil builds up on top of that, weed seeds build up on top of that, and so then we get more weeds. But if we just do it once a year, we keep the weeds down, and we don't have to worry about them returning year after year. All right, Rob, I think we're ready for the our first seg to be over, and hopefully we'll get some callers here in that second segment.
Yeah, we'll get some callers on the air. If you'd like to join us, 866-391-1020. Stay with us, because it is Doug Oster, the Organic Gardener, on Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA Radio. Good morning. All right, right back to the phones we go, and let's say hi to Robert in Irwin, up first for Doug Oster. Hey, Robert, how are you? Good morning.
Doug. I've been growing garlic for maybe like 20 years now, a hardneck garlic. And I planted the music last year. And then this spring, though, I haven't had any scapes growing on it, but it looks healthy. So I'm wondering why.
I think it's just a little early. I don't have any scapes coming up either. I've got three or four varieties planted, so I just think it's a little early. We've had kind of a cool spring, and that would be my guess. With music, that's one that
I knew you liked music.
Say it again?
I knew music was one of your favorites.
I do love that one. It's just, it's your big, old-fashioned white bulb that has got good spice to it. And, yeah, I would wait it out. I think you will have your scapes here in about 2 weeks, and you'll be fine. Don't sweat it. It's going to make scapes.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Here's Tom up next from the north side. Hey, Tom. Good morning.
Morning. My collard greens survived the winter, and now they're going to seed. The flowers are yellow and so forth. And I was wondering, once it goes to seed, can I plant those seeds this year, or would I need to wait over the winter to plant them?
You can dry them out and plant them. Our only concern is if those collard greens were a hybrid variety, it won't be exactly the same thing.
Right. And I don't really know what kind they were. Just the collard greens. And also, I'm growing something called Chinese cabbage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I collect their seeds every year, and I replant them and so forth. But it seems like the Chinese cabbage, it seems more like a lettuce than it does a cabbage. And I've looked on the Internet, and they show pictures that really look more like Napa cabbage or bok choy. And mine's more like kind of loose leaves that really are more like lettuce. And I'm just wondering, is just the word Chinese cabbage is kind of a generic term that...
It is. There's so many different bok choy and bok choy that have that common name of Chinese cabbage. The other thing is, too, when you're saving those seeds, again, you might be getting the original version of one of the children that were used to make that cross. So,
and then one time you mentioned it seemed like Chinese cabbage, and the word started with a T.
Yeah, that's called tat soy.
And that's the kind of same thing as Chinese cabbage?
No, it's different. It's more of a leafy green and grows in these florets, but it can only grow in cool weather. Its season basically is over right now. But you could get some pak choy or bok choy that would grow more cabbage, like just by getting some seedlings at a nursery. Even a four pack, just give them a try.
Right.
With the collard greens, is this your first year with the collard greens?
I've grown them years and years and years, and some winters they will survive, and some winters they won't. But then once it starts getting warmer, they go to seed. And I have kale that survived the winter, and it's starting to go to seed also.
Yeah, same here. I've got a kale that I grow. It was originally bred as a food crop called red boar. But I grow it as an ornamental because it kind of grows tree-like, and I've posted some pictures because it's nice. It's purple with yellow flowers, and you always get the yellow flowers off there. Well, I think that'll be interesting to hear how your collard greens do.
Right.
Because, like you said, it's collard greens, you know. So what if it reverts to, you know, one of the parents that were used to make
right,
that?
Right. Well, this is kind of seeds that cost like a quarter a pack or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds good.
Right,
yeah, it was a good winter to overwinter things, that's for sure. Nice and mild. And I'm glad you're doing that because, you know, it's fun to get that stuff early in the season to be able to, you know, have something to harvest out of the garden when most people haven't even started planting. Thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. Doug and I will continue. We have another half hour, plenty of time for you to call in. Brisk business on the phones today. So we've got Marie on the north side pruning lilacs. Donald on the north side, sprouts 2 feet tall. Couple of lines available, 866-391-1020. Coming up, Boris has got the news, bottom of the hour. We have another check of sports coming up. Famed college basketball coach Eddie Sutton has died at the age of 84. The first to take four different schools to the NCAA tournament. We'll look back at the legacy and the life of Coach Sutton today on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Getting closer to Major League Baseball, playing NBA, NHL, all of that stuff. The match coming up later today. Big golf action that's going to be seen on TNT. We'll talk about that. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson, and Tom Brady. And next hour in the Coons Cooking Hour, getting ready for picnic plans, but we want you to do it safely. We want you to be smart. We want you to be happy. We'll talk all about it. And, of course, Heffron Tillotson and Your Money and You as well today, in which Kurt Carlson is going to be hosting for Jim Meredith. Lots more to come. Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA Radio. Good morning. All right, spent a little time at Janoski's yesterday talking to Mike and Tom and Patty and Steven. Just a great place. Nice to be out in some fresh air and just spending some time with my other family. And you could be the winner of a $25 gift certificate if you're the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020. These phones are lit. People want to talk to Doug. So let's go to Marie on the north side. She's got some questions about pruning those lilacs. Hey, Marie, how are you? Good morning.
I'm fine, and thank you so much for this show. I planted a miniature lilac about 15 years ago. I never pruned it because it always looks so well. And now it's about 10 feet high and almost as wide. And I just realized there's a lot of new shoots coming out of the bottom, like 2 feet. And then the middle's real bare. You can see all the wood. And then the top third is like a full bush of all leaves, and every branch has a flower on it. And I want to get it so it doesn't get out of control.
All right, so it's blooming good, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, we don't want to mess with it too much because that's a problem people have, is that their lilacs go into a thing where they'll bloom good 1 year and then not good the next year. So we don't prune until right after the blooms are done. And usually that is just to give it a haircut so that it will put more buds on to bloom good next year. And so is it getting too big for its place?
No, it's not. I just was afraid it would keep getting bigger and it would be all wood eventually, and just the top half would, the top couple feet would just be all green, and it has a ton of flowers. That's why I was always afraid to prune it.
Yeah. Well, with lilacs, what happens is as they do get old, some of the original stems start to get woody, they start to get old, they start to kind of die out, and that's when those young ones that are popping up from underneath, that's when they take over. As long as it's blooming good, and as long as it's not outgrowing its space, I would be very careful about pruning, because what we do for rejuvenative pruning to make them bloom more is eventually we'll take one of those old big branches off the stems from the ground, like the original ones, and let those young ones grow up, because they really will bloom like crazy. But again, I'm worried about doing that because it's blooming so well.
This is the first year the young ones showed up.
I would let those go. Let those keep doing their thing, because that's going to be your, at some point, and I think it's too early to do it with this plant, at some point those young ones are the ones that are going to take over for the older stems. But if it was me, I would wait just because it's blooming so good.
Okay, thank you so much.
Right.
I don't want to lose it.
All right, let's go to Donald, also on the north side, for Doug this morning. Hey, Donald, how are you?
Fine. How about you, Doug?
Doing great.
My scapes are 2 feet long on my garlic. I have hardneck garlic and music. And I planted them in October, but now they're like 2 feet long. Should I cut them off?
Yes. That's interesting because, you know, I had a caller earlier with no scapes. I don't have scapes on my garlic yet, and you're probably 5 miles from me tops, and you've got scapes. So that's interesting. Yes, for garlic, what the scape is, it's the seed head that comes out of the very center. It'll go up and make kind of a spinning thing, a loop. And yes, those should be removed because we don't want the garlic plant to put its energy into making seed. We want the energy to go into making the bulb. And so cut those off. And those are a treat. I'm telling you, those are wonderful. You can grill those. You could roast those. You can turn those into pesto. That's my favorite way to use them. I'll take my scapes.
Okay.
I'll cut them up. I'll throw them into a
close to the ground.
Say it again, please.
Should I cut them off down close to the ground?
Just right where it comes out of the plant. You still have to keep all that foliage in the plant. The scape itself will come from the center. And you can cut it off anywhere because as long as that seed head is off, the plant won't put its energy into putting the seeds on there. But use them, eat them, and then also what you can do with those scapes, if you leave a couple of them after you remove them from the plant, if you just leave them in the garden, it's kind of cool because those scapes have enough energy in them so that the plant will continue to make seeds. And so eventually, in about a month, you'll have these nice seeds there, and that is a clone of the bulb below. So if you love garlic like I do, you can nibble on those little, what we call bulbettes. So get them off there and then eat them, and then you'll be able to harvest your garlic probably in July.
Okay, very good. All right. I put 6 inches of shredded leaves on like you told me to do.
Oh, perfect. That's the perfect mulch for them.
Okay,
very good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate the call. Okay, let's go to Butler and say hello to Pat up next for a very busy Doug Oster today on The Organic Gardener. Go ahead, Pat. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Happy Decoration Day. I have two questions. What can I do about my daughter's flower bed? The deer are decimating it. And also, have you ever utilized dry farming for tomatoes?
So let's start off with the deer.
Okay.
And the first thing we can do is some type of physical barrier, if you can figure one out that looks okay, that is inexpensive. You know, think of for a flower bed, you might not be able to put up a fence, but think about thick fishing line or something like that, where you could string it every 12 inches or something. I use that a lot, and then put streamers on it, just because depending on where you're installing it, people can't see it, and so they could be hurt by it. And if you can't put any kind of physical barrier on there, the next thing is some kind of repellent. And I use one called Bob-X, but there are many, many, many different types of granular and liquid repellents, and they all work pretty well. But you know, most of them smell. That's what keeps the deer away. And then tell me a little bit about the dry farming, because I've heard a little bit about it, but I've never done that for tomatoes.
Well, there was a show on TV last year, and it came on again this year. This farmer somewhere out in the West or Midwest, he does not water his tomato plants at all. He relies only on rainwater. And the tomatoes, they look like they're dying as they're, you know, the fruit's coming out. However, the tomatoes turn out huge, and the sugar is so concentrated in the tomatoes because he does not manually put water on his tomatoes.
Yeah, that's something I've never tried. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to garden. And the only thing that I've found in my years of growing tomatoes is when they don't have water, a lot of times they get blossom end rot. And so that worries me. Say it again.
He claims he doesn't get blossom rot. That was one of the advantages.
Yeah, I trust that is a great way to garden, that he's found a way to do this. It's just, for me, I don't really water my tomatoes very often, I mulch them thickly, though, and so, you know, I don't know a lot about it, but it sounds interesting, especially with the when you talk about the taste of the tomato. We all love our homegrown tomatoes.
Oh, goodness, yes, yes. Well, what causes the skin on a tomato to get, like, tough?
You know, every variety of tomato is a little bit different, and so it's about each variety. Some have very thin, very tender skins. Other ones have been bred to ship or something like that, or they just that's just the way they grow, that we have a thicker skin or a tougher skin. Each one's a little different. You know, I always tell people when you're growing tomatoes, grow as many different varieties as you can, just because each one reacts differently to pests and diseases, and each one has its own personality. Thanks for your call.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side, get right back to more of your calls. Congratulations in order for Mary Lee and Beaver, winner of that gift certificate from Janoski's. Next hour, staying safe amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. When it comes to picnic time, it's always the right time with Coons Quality Foods and the Coons Cooking Hour. Joe and Frank Dentici and me, Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA Radio. Good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug, if you will, tell everyone who's back again.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturist Denise Schreiber. And Denise, before we hear about everything you've been doing in your garden, do you know anything about dry farming?
Yeah, the dry farming is actually something that they do out west. And, you know, we can't really do it here. A, we have clay soil, which actually helps retain moisture, but we get more rainfall than they do. You know, during the summer, you know, they get nothing at all. That's why they have all the fires and everything. Plus, they grow different varieties of tomatoes than we do here. So if we try dry land farming here, we're going to end up with dead tomatoes.
So what's going on in your garden?
Oh, well, I finally managed to get 98% of it planted yesterday. I was out there for,
really?
I don't know, 9 hours. So I've got four different tomatoes out there. I have Delicious, which is an old beefsteak. I have Whopper Improved from Park Seed, that's just a good all-round eating tomato. I've got Sun Gold, which is a cherry tomato. And really, I have that for something to eat while I'm working in the garden. You know, you just kind of pop them off. And I have my San Marzano Redortas. And then I planted celery this year, which is a first for me. And everybody talks about how you have to hill up soil to blanch your celery, but I was also reading you can simply take newspaper, wrap it around the stalks, and secure it with some string and have the same effect. And and then I've got celery seasoning. It's a type of celery, but it's grown for the leaves, so you can keep harvesting. A lot of times a recipe will call for, you know, just a little bit of celery, and you can substitute celery leaves. So I've got that growing out there. I've got peppers. I just harvested my first crop of radishes, put in another crop of radishes, put in more beets, because why wouldn't I ever have beets in my garden? Harvested a bunch of oregano. It's in the dehydrator right now. It's almost dry. And I've got three different peppers, and then I've got my amazing basil. That actually I put in a container. I like to keep my lettuce and my basil and my parsley. I like to actually keep them in deck boxes, so I don't have to run out to the garden. I can just go walk out the door, grab what I need, and come right back in.
What made you grow the celery leaves?
Well, you know, I had a recipe this winter, and I went to buy some because I really didn't have any, and it's like, it looked terrible. It was all yellow, and I'm like, I'm going to grow this year. So germination, I got the seed from Renee's, and it's called Seasoning Celery. But it does have some irregular germination, and it takes about 3 weeks in a cooler area for it to germinate. But once it germinates really well. And so I want the flavoring. I'm also planning for doing more canning this year. That's kind of what my thinking was in the garden this year. I normally don't make tomato soup, but I'm going to make tomato soup, and I'm going to try it.
And Doug, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow in every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, have a great rest of your weekend and a wonderful week. And yes, it's that time that everything can go in the garden now that the Memorial Day weekend is upon us. Stay with us, folks. We've got the news coming up next at 8 o'clock with Boris Shiloff. And then keeping you safe, COVID-19 pandemic. It's all about picnic time with that stay-at-home family of yours and your friends at Coons Market with those 8 great locations. And by the way, they will be open Memorial Day until 7 p.m. It's Coons Market, a Pittsburgh tradition. Almost 8 o'clock. Good morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.